Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
If you've been following the great space race over the last 2 years, including India landing on the moon in August, SpaceX's Falcon Heavy billion-dollar asteroid mission for NASA, and how SpaceX launched 3 Falcon 9s in less than a day, then you're going to love this interview with Royal Helium, because rocket launch activity in 2022 reached a new record. 2023 set another record with 223 launches, and 2024 is expected to set another record. And how does that apply to Royal Helium? Well, they've already got multiple year purchase commitments from 2 offtake partners in the major North American aerospace and space launch industries, including a major space launch company, which all of us on the outside have kind of narrowed down to one of NASA, SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's company, or Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' company, because Helium plays a critical role in space launches. And more than just space launches, Helium pricing is skyrocketing, pardon the pun, or has been, because demand is coming in from many high-tech applications outside of space launches, which obviously is causing supply issues and making it a high-priced commodity with prices continuing to rise. The company's state-of-the-art facility, the Stevo plant, is processing upwards of 50 million cubic feet of raw gas. In other words, don't worry about the number. There's a lot of gas and a lot of helium with a life of the plant of 25 years. And here's the big news. Royal Helium and Sparrowhawk Developments enter into a $25 million partnership and letter of intent for resource development and new facility construction in Saskatchewan. Andrew, welcome back, my friend.
Thanks for having me, George.
Hey, there's a lot to absorb here. Here's the first question. For the first question, I'm going to ask you: Sparrowhawk is going to be investing $25 million into drilling, completion of the wells, construction of the new helium purification facility. How does this accelerate your growth, and how happy should shareholders be about this development?
Yeah, it's sort of it's tough to overstate the importance of this, George. I mean, we've been working on this one for a long time, and what it lets us do is shift our focus away from, okay, we've got Steveville, now let's go do another one, to, okay, we've got Steveville, now let's go 2 more, you know, and because we can develop field 2, which will be Val-Marie, and field 3 in conjunction with each other, because we only have to spend our capital on one of those 2. It is frankly a terrific deal for the company, a terrific deal for Sparrowhawk, and our shareholders should be over the moon. This is non-dilutive resource development at its best, securing both the economics for Royal, for Sparrowhawk, and also securing the social license to operate in Southern Saskatchewan by choosing the partner that we did. I mean, it's terrific any way you slice it. There is literally no downside to this deal.
Does Royal Helium have to put up any money here, or is it a common, is this Sparrowhawk putting up the money and Royal Helium putting up the assets at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a bit of both, right? So in terms of building this project out, the first $25 million to get spent on it is Sparrowhawk's, not ours. So we remain the operator, so we retain control of the drilling operations and the facility construction. We just don't have to write the checks for it.
Now, looking forward, I found an interesting excerpt from the press release which said, Sparrowhawk and Royal commit to partnering on future helium opportunities in Saskatchewan as and when they materialize. So could this model extend to other wells and other plants?
Absolutely. This is, we view it as a starting point. It's just a matter of executing on this first one, and then the doors open up for wherever we want to go next. You know, Sparrowhawk's a very interesting counterparty. They are the economic development arm of a local Cree Nation in Saskatchewan. They've made investments before, material investments before, but this is their first foray into the helium space or even the natural resource space in general. And it was interesting to them because of the way we approach resource development. One, we're in a critical mineral, which is green because of the way we do it. That's for one. The way we process helium is second to none in terms of environmental footprint. And it's a way to give access to or to gain access to the resource itself and the infrastructure to process it and purify it. And that's a unique opportunity. It's like, it would be equivalent to, you know, buying a couple of oil wells and building a refinery, or You know, it's something that you don't see everywhere. It's I have a hard time
Yeah, I
describing
gotta admit,
it.
I saw it. You typically expect to hear, you know, Royal Helium gets debt financing from George Com Investments or whatever. And you know, we don't hear, but Sparrowhawk, we haven't heard of them, but it's almost like you're opening up a brand new source that's not just money oriented, but like you said, it's very important for them from a social point of view to strike deals like this.
From a social point of view and an employment point of view, I mean, we'll be providing opportunities for training and employment for a whole new industry of folks in southern Saskatchewan. So it's good for everyone. The local community will benefit in a great way. But you know, as importantly, Sparrowhawk will make a boatload of money off of this, as will Royal, and our shareholders should be ecstatic about it. I mean, frankly,
A little more
when
about
you
this.
look at it, the $25 million price tag for what is essentially 50% of the project puts a very interesting valuation on a development asset, right? And for a company like ours, that asset's valued at, you know, at the market cap of Royal itself right now. It's a great deal
Yeah,
for our shareholders.
run the numbers there so people understand that
Sure.
how you're saying that, because
Yeah,
$25
simple.
million gets them essentially
Yeah.
50%.
25 million for 50% implies a $50 million valuation on the asset, right? The market capitalization of Royal right now is $41 million. Oh, and by the way, we've got a producing helium plant in Alberta,
Yeah.
and 3-year contracts that we're selling into. So, it's a good deal for it's a good deal for us. It's a good deal for Sparrowhawk.
The advantages of a JV over equity, because traditionally something like this, you'd have to just issue equity. So I did some math, and if you did this $25 million at today's prices, you'd give about 62% of the company. That's not including the warrants.
That's
But in
right.
this situation, Sparrowhawk is going to have 15, I'm just going to round here, 58% working interest in the wells, and then 46% interest in the processing facility itself, which obviously those are lower numbers at the end of the day than you have done through equity and no warrants. So that's great. Why are the wells and plant JV separate?
Oh, simple. Because you know, valuing wells is relatively easy to do, but valuing return on an infrastructure asset is a whole nother cost of capital, right? So, when we put the package together initially, we discussed at length how best to build this, and what we landed on is basically two separate joint ventures: one for resource development and one for running infrastructure and midstream assets. And that's really what it boils down to, because the valuation of both is materially different. I mean, the risk associated with infrastructure is far lower than the risk associated with resource development.
When you put it that way, that says to me, in my experience, that's not an easy negotiation. It's not an easy negotiation if you just wrap it up into one package. Forget about trying to make two different calculations. So does that kind of convey a great collaboration between you guys and Sparrowhawk? Each of you really want to get this done, and you got that, because that's tough there.
Yeah, no, 100%. So this has been a long process. I mean, it's been hard to be quiet about it because we've been very excited about it for some time. But we started talking with Sparrowhawk in February of 2023. So this has been
Wow.
a long time in the making. And we stripped the project down to the studs and said, okay, here's exactly what it looks like. Let's put it together in a way that makes sense for you and makes sense for us. And for us, doing this without issuing a single share or a single warrant is an unbelievable benefit to our shareholders. So they get access to this enormous field with a brand new production facility without diluting their ownership position in the company one bit. It's a win-win. But you know, their team of professionals on the Sparrowhawk side are very strong, a history in oil and gas and deal making. It was a process for sure. The due diligence we went through was stringent. Third party operated and run out of houses that would do due diligence on the largest deals in the world. But it was a terrific process. We had confidence in our asset that was met through the DD process. Everyone agrees this is a good deal.
Is it safe to assume that the process might have taken that long? I mean, that's a year and a couple of months, you know, almost a year and 3 months or something like that. Was it safe to assume it probably took that long because you guys, you know, Sparehawk knew and you guys knew that Steveville was coming on? Yeah. And once Steveville comes on, goes through commission and goes through a ramp up, you get a better idea of the economics. So everyone said, let's kind of see how that shapes out.
Yeah. And I think it takes a bit of a risk premium off of Royal. I mean, the fact is, okay, fine. We've proved that we can do it. Now it's we're going to do it again situation. Instead of going through these talks saying, oh, trust us, this is going to work. It's no, I mean, have a look. Right. This works. Yeah. So there was certainly part of it there. By the time we brought the Steve-O plant onto production, the economic terms of this deal were more or less set. And then it was a matter of going through another level of due diligence, which looked at Steveville and all of our costs associated with building that and operating it and making sure that they agree through to the models that we had built for Valmarie. And they did. So it was a nice little validation at the end. And I would say that was probably the last 2-3 months worth of work was getting that across the line.
And follow up to that, would it be safe to assume also that if you guys did a deal on another one, it wouldn't take a year and 3 months because you guys have pretty much figured out, obviously you'd have to look at the specifics of a second one, but it wouldn't take a year and 3 months to get another one done because now you guys have a really good understanding of the economics on the well side and the facility side.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point.
A while back, I had my intuition. You know, we were talking about the offtake agreements you had, and I said to myself, mm-hmm. "Hey, Andy, putting my business thinking cap on, I said to myself, there's a lot of demand. End users want helium because that had come up in our discussions. And I said to you, is there any chance you're having discussions with end users? You know, Georgecom Rocket Company, for example. I think I said something like that, where I said they may come to you and say, hey, Andy, instead of you guys having to go through the financing rigmarole and the time, how about if we just fund you and we move this along faster? And at that time, you couldn't be specific, obviously, but you had alluded to there are some kind of discussions like that going on, and that's all I can say for now. Is this what you were thinking of at that time, or are there, in fact, other discussions potentially taking place with end users still who want helium to come online faster?
Yeah, and the answer to that question is yes and yes. This was certainly in the works at the time. It was in my mind, but yeah, there are other things that we are pursuing as well along those lines. I mean, the demand for the product is not going away. In fact, it's growing stronger. So the rush for development is on, and for companies like ours, well, any public helium exploration company with material land base, I mean, you have to seriously consider how are we going to explore and develop this in a meaningful and non-overly dilutive way. And I think we've sort of defined that path here with what we've done. Because as you said, I mean, equity financing this $25 million buildup would have cost us more than half our company. And from an equity perspective, that's just not something we're willing to do. This is how it's done. Find partners that you can work with, that have a vested interest in resource development, and get it done.
You touched a little bit on the macro, and I always like to talk to you about the macro because we can't really track it at home. It's not like gold. Everyone's watching gold prices together, climbing, yeah, and so on and so forth, and we can't do that with helium. So what's the helium macro look like? How's supply looking? How's demand looking? And how is pricing looking since the last time we spoke?
Yeah, I mean, all the it's more or less unchanged, I'll say that. So demand remains strong. Supply remains weak, but there are projects that are starting to come online, ours being one of them. There's a few others that are progressing towards it. The pricing has remained relatively stable. I mean, we see market prices, you know, third-party contracts that are very, very high in the $1,000 plus per MCF. Now, that's not where companies like ours are going to be contracting. Those are generally large volume government deals. I would suggest that, you know, for us, we're looking at anything in sort of the 750, 850 range would be somewhere where we'd expect to be contracting in terms of pricing. on a what we would call a long-term contract, which would be, you know, a 3 to 5 year deal.
Which would be significantly higher than the average price you've got in these offtake agreements already. You're somewhere in the fives,
Yeah,
five, six, somewhere
we're
there.
538 on average. Yeah, that's a material increase. And frankly, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but when we put a project together, obviously we stress test it, like, based on what we think the economics of production are going to be, and we use a price of $125 Canadian for our economic stress test. So we're every project that we move to development is going to be economic at that 125 Canadian range, which is a little ways off from 538 US.
Well, devil's advocate. Devil's advocate. Are you maybe doing a slight disservice by under, you know, I know you, I think it's great that you remain conservative at $125 Canadian, but when the market is clearly higher than that now, it's not close. And it's not like it's a short-term blip to say, hey, George, you went up to 500 for the last 3 months. Let's see if it sustained itself and now it's at seven, you know, 750. At some point, do you start to change the economics
For
and
sure.
adjust that upwards?
For sure. I guess I should have been a bit more clear on that. That's the metric we use when we're picking up land back when we were
Okay.
actively in the acquisition phase of buying project areas. So we haven't been doing that in quite some time. Obviously, we picked up that 40-mile asset last year, but safe to say that one we had more data on than previously. So, yeah, I mean, now, if we were looking at buying an asset or buying a near production story, we wouldn't use 125. We'd use something where we think the floor will be in the long term, when I think that's somewhere between 400 and 500.
Another devil's advocate question. We're talking about next steps, and now that you've got these two, you can look for a third, but you are a small cap company at the end of the day. You don't have endless resources. So with Stevo running, Valmarie essentially funded, so you don't have, that's off your mind, so you can move towards getting that up and running. Do you even have the bandwidth for a third field and a third production facility? And if so, where does your bandwidth end right now, you know, in your current state?
Yeah, fair question. You know, we also have the benefit of having fields that we've already drilled, right? So when we talk about going into our next project area, it's not going into a brand new region where there's no data and drilling exploration wells and hoping they work out. It's much more about, you know, completing on a new zone in a well and doing some longer term flow tests to see if it warrants a plant. And when it does, we'll put it through the same process we've done before, which is do a resource calculation on it, sign an offtake agreement for most of the production, and then walk it down the street to our banking partners and say, hey, we're back. We want to build our third facility now. And securing that credit to get those facilities built. At that point, the burden on equity capital is much, much lower, and in fact may well be covered by the cash flow from Stevo.
By the way, there's probably last note, there's probably no stronger indication of how big this news is than the fact that I'm doing this interview from Dubai, which just went through some pretty crazy storm action, if anybody's been living under a rock and haven't seen it. So hence why I don't have the great lighting, not the best setup in the world. But you know, the term is come hell or high water, we're gonna get something done, right? That's, well, in this case, come hell or high water in Dubai, we were going to get this interview done. We tried to get it done last night, but it wasn't quite the right circumstance. So, but I'm glad we got it. I'm glad we got it done tonight. And that's tongue in cheek, but that's how important this interview was. Last words to you, Andy. You know, when you're talking to shareholders, you've given us a great overview of the economics behind all of this and some of the nuances. Last word to you, the shareholders, as to you know, next steps and what they should be looking forward to.
Yeah, I think the takeaway here, at least what I would like the takeaway to be, is we've heard a lot of talk about, you know, what's next, what's after Steveville, and we've been relatively quiet about that over the last number of months as we've been ramping up Steveville. But that entire time we've been working on this one, so that question has now been answered. What's next has been answered, and answered very clearly, including how is it going to get paid for. So that's the message to take away. I mean, we can easily move now from a one to a two facility company using principally other people's capital. through this economic partnership agreement. Things are looking good for Royal. I mean, we're doing a lot of the right things. Our plant is behaving well. It is getting closer and closer to capacity every day. We are making sales. We are collecting revenues. I mean, there's no other helium company out there that can say that. So we're in a pretty unique spot. We like to think we've cemented our place in the helium exploration and production company sort of ladder, and just looking forward to going to the next one or two facilities here in the relative short term.
Congratulations, Andy. I think I speak on behalf of most of your shareholders, say this is a job well done, because one is tough, but some cynics can say, well, it's one, that you might be a one trick pony, but now you're telling the world that you're no longer a one trick pony for anybody who might have doubted. I don't think there are a lot of people, but there are always some, but the fact you're able to lock this down and put yourself in a position for more, I think is great. And we wish you all great success.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
For everybody watching at home, you've been watching Andrew Davidson, Chief Executive Officer of the Royal Helium, trades in Canada, RHC, trades in the US, RHCCF. For those new to the story, you're seeing this $25 million headline. You've stumbled onto Royal Helium and wondering, hey, I want to know more. Start your due diligence at GORCOM. We've got a great profile page there that gives you the layman overview of this business, because not a lot of us know about the helium business. And once you've got that under your belt, head over to the Royal Helium website, do your deep dive due diligence. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you from Dubai.
Hey guys, this podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then, don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform, so you will never miss another one great Agora Gomez Small Cap podcast.